Welcome back to Screen Crush Rewind. I am your host, Ryan Airy, and today is our big DC day. We've been holding on to a lot of DC news for a while because other stuff keeps coming up, but today's perfect because the Lanterns trailer just dropped. I have not seen it. I'm going to watch it here with you guys, and we're going to bring on some other guests to watch it with, and then we are going to talk about news from The Batman 2, Man of Tomorrow. We're going to speculate about Supergirl. We have a question right now in the live chat. Which DC project are you looking forward to the most? So far, it looks like the Batman Part 2 is the runaway favorite at 47%, but votes are coming in. Be sure to vote. Voting's free. Super chats are not. And even though we don't require a super chat, they are always encouraged, and we're going to do our best to get to every super chat comment that we can. And a little bit of housekeeping before we start. Remember, Screen Crush memberships are now live, and for $5 a month, you get 15% off our merch store, as well as exclusive videos and tons of other perks. And we got, a little graphic right there, and early access to some videos, exclusive videos, everything in tier one. And then the $100 tier, we are, you get your name at the end of a video, which we're going to add in very soon. And we're doing watch parties. This Wednesday night, we're doing X-Men 1, X-Men 2000. So this one's going to be open and free to everybody if you want to watch X-Men with us. But I want to get to this Lanterns trailer. We'll talk more about the live stream stuff and the watch parties later on. First, let me bring on our first guest. You know him as the guy who's always on break, Mr. Tommy Bechtold. What's up, Tommy?
Janet, the best way to get me to take a mandatory harassment training would be to stop harassing me. I'd like to talk to HR. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Good, man. I thought Janet was HR. This is an interesting web of intrigue at your workspace that I'm slowly getting.
Janet is human resources. I'm talking about human repulsion.
Human remains. Repulsion.
Yes.
Understood. Yes. Okay, I gotcha. Well, let's not dilly. Tommy, I like talking to you, but let's not dilly dally.
Let's not dilly dally.
Yes. So let's bring up our next guest. He's yet to have a fun nickname, but he's the co-host of the Comic Book Club podcast. You know him as Mr. Alex Zalbin. What's up, Alex?
Not much, Ryan. I am psyched to talk about DC news. I know the poll numbers came out this morning. I'm sure we're going to break them all down. They are plummeting.
That's a different DC. I'm really sorry.
Detective Comics.
Yeah, Detective Comics, right. We don't cover District of Columbia stuff.
Yeah, Detective Comics going up.
Yeah, very
poll numbers okay, very and, good.
And finally, our next and final guest is this guy is basically Mr. DC around the Screen Crush video store. He co-writes or has a hand in every single one of our DC videos. His love for Detective Comics knows no bounds. Mr. Lee Manmazio, what's up, Lee?
Hello, very excited for this long overdue live stream. Very long overdue.
We do keep pushing it back, but you were gone for 2 weeks.
I've been gnawing at the bars of my enclosure to talk about DC.
Well, yes. We're really happy to have you back, man. Just on a personal level, happy to have you back. There's been a bit of a turn in our poll. It says now, this is interesting,
with
109 votes. Not that kind of poll, Tommy. With 109 votes, the Batman 2 is only at 38%. Lanterns and Man of Tomorrow are basically tied at 25 and 14. Not that many people jazzed on Supergirl, which is a shame. All right, we're going to get to Super Chats in just a second. First, we were talking about this before we started. It's really funny how this looks like a game of Guess Who. Like, you got to be like, okay, well, does he have glasses? And then I'm out. And then does he have a beard? And then it's just Lee and Tommy.
Does he have bad like tattoos?
Oh,
your Tom!
Yeah.
Oh, hey, brother.
There you go. I wouldn't say your tattoos are bad, guys. Let's not do that to ourselves. All right. I think we've vamped enough. We've given the stragglers time. We're going to start off with the trailer from Lanterns, and then we're going to talk about news, including the Batman 2, and get to these super chats in just a second, which have already started. Corey Candor gave us $5 and said, "What up, mofos? I cannot wait to stop the dilly-dally." And let's get to it. Here is the first trailer for Lanterns. And I should say that if this features a Bruce Springsteen song or another music artist prominently, we will briefly get demonetized, but we will make commentary on that song. And that commentary will be part of the video. We will win in our copyright dispute with YouTube, just like what happened last time. And here we go.
This ring, it's the greatest weapon in the universe. Okay. When and if to use it, that's the whole ball game, Junior.
Did you just use that ring to counterfeit money?
No.
Tell me how you got it. The ring?
You know how I got it. I sure as hell didn't interview for it.
Oh, well, shit, maybe you should have. Power like that, shouldn't you have to work for it?
I've been doing this since you were a baby. And the only way you're gonna get this ring is over my dead fucking body.
I think he likes me. Everybody is lying to us.
We're not leaving here till we find out what they're hiding.
Danger is part of the job. You need to be fearless.
How are you chosen for this?
It's only one question. Are you afraid?
Terrible de-aging.
Are you afraid?
Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Are you afraid?
I was raised fearless, and I'll do this better than he's ever done it before.
Then go and get it, John Stewart.
It's funny. It seems like it. Like the first teaser was. We'll bring this back up in a second to go to specific frame. So the first teaser was very much like a vibe intro, yeah. You know, playing the Springsteen song from Nebraska State Trooper and all this. This is more like, okay, here you are, to the point where the last line in it is the name of one of the characters to introduce people. What's everybody's first impressions of that?
Yeah, I mean, exactly what you said. It seems, I don't know if this is explicitly it, but it definitely seems like, oh, you guys had criticisms on the first trailer. Here's the second trailer. Here's some Green Lantern stuff. We're making constructs. They're in costumes part of the time. There's conflict and action and everything. I honestly was into the first trailer. I liked it because they've been very open about this is kind of True Detective, but with two Green Lanterns. And that's what the first one sold me. This one also sold me on that.
You know, I like to think of the first trailer as a tone poem, and I think I'm in. Here's my takeaway. They're spoon feeding us that Hal Jordan's going to die, right? So I think it's obviously going like it's going to be a zag on that, and he's faking his death, right? Like that's got to be it. Like if he just dies now after all of this, it feels kind of. I mean, there's a funeral scene in there. We see multiple cars explode. He says the only way you're getting this ring is over my dead body. I feel like a part of this is going to be that he faces death. I'm calling it now as a small prediction.
Yeah, but he's not afraid of it. That's the main thing with Hal Jordan, right? He had no fear as a test pilot.
But I just feel like it's too obvious that this is like the story of him handing over the mantle unwillingly by dying.
Go ahead.
My initial prediction after the first trailer was that this was going to go over Parallax and it would be that John had to step up because Hal went AWOL. But I am kind of leaning closer towards him dying, or like he's walked away in the comics before, aside from the whole Parallax thing. So I could see him just like walking away, but also the way that they're building it up, like the conflict between John and Hal, I don't think that would make sense within the story that Lanterns is trying to tell. I don't know. I think that I personally am in the group that this should have been the first trailer. I like seeing the constructs. I think also a lot of people's, in my opinion, dumb arguments on Twitter after the first trailer was like, where's the green and Green Lantern? And so I think that having this out first would have like mitigated that. But I don't know.
A thousand pointless toxic YouTube videos and get a little monetization out of it by making an argument a five-year-old would make. I didn't see any green in the Green Lantern.
Stick with the colors, but just to back up your Parallax thing or like back it up to the Parallax thing a little bit. I do think there's some sense of it because his costume not to focus on the color, but like it is a mix of green and yellow. And there's that shot of John Stewart getting a yellow shot of something in his neck or near his head that feels like some sort of
Is a laser gun. That's like an alien laser gun that lights
up. Is it? Okay.
And I just took a second little look at it here.
Also just right like there. The fact that they are harping so much on the fear part. Like, I know that's the opposite of Will, but just instead of going more towards the Green Lantern, I mean, hell, it's just named Lanterns. Like, the Yellow Lanterns are going to be a part of it. So I understand. Like, I mean, there's yellow in all of the trailer as well. So I do think, walking away, Parallax.
My biggest question out of this, which kind of was a question out of the first trailer as well, is how do the rings work in the DCU? Because maybe Hal's just being a jerk. He certainly seems to be a jerk. But the whole idea that he's like, John Stewart, you have to kill me to get the ring, is very different from the comic book continuity. In addition, you've got Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner in there. And I know a million people have brought up this question, but like, he's in this trailer. How does he have the ring if Hal has the ring as well, if only one person can have the ring? So obviously they're not telling us in like a minute and a half of the show that's eight episodes long or whatever it is, but that's definitely like my biggest question going into this is like, what mythology are they working out with the Green Lanterns? Whatever they do is cool for the show. It doesn't need to be the comic book thing one-to-one, but I just require some explanation there because I'm confused and intrigued.
Let's talk about the comic book thing for a second, right? So there's a lot of people watching maybe who aren't huge Green Lantern fans. And I know between us, we've got a fairly huge amount of expertise. So Hal Jordan, let's just for all intents and purposes say he was the first Green Lantern because he was the first one of this modern era where the Guardians of the Universe have space cops who get rings and then a dying alien lands on Earth and gives him the ring, which is funny because he does say, you know how I got it, maybe because that's the origin we saw in the first Green Lantern movies. They skip over it. And then was Guy Gardner the next Green Lantern? Or was John Stewart?
Yes.
So yes and no. They were both picked at the same time, technically yes, because originally Hal and Guy were picked at the same time, but Hal was closer to the ring than Guy was.
Got it. He was home.
He was, yeah. So yes and no. Like it's Guy and also John, but then also depending on the continuity, John was watched by the Guardians his entire life.
So wait, all three of them were picked at the same time. You're saying all three were picked at the same time, but Hal was closer.
Long story short.
And I mean, just to add in there for like the people who don't know anything about the comic books, the way that Hal gets the ring, at least, is there's this alien called Abin Sur who dies, crash lands on Earth, and is like, take my ring. Later on, they add a little bit to the mythology where if a Green Lantern dies, their ring searches for somebody who has the proper will to become the next Green Lantern. Right. So it's not necessarily like you kill a guy. It's not Highlander rules. You don't kill a guy and get his energy or anything like that. So they all can get the rings. And there's always a constant joke in the comics about like, why do so many people on Earth have these rings? But it's because the comics are made on Earth. That's why they're all in there.
I have a question as a more of a layman in the Green Lantern comic book world. Do they ever have rings concurrently? Like, because I know there's like the Lantern Corps and they all, like, presumably all of those people have rings or all those, you know, living beings have rings. So it's like, so multiple rings end up on Earth then at some
point. Yes.
Yeah, for a little while, I think there was because DC Comics always has a legacy aspect, they'd sort of be like, this person has the ring, and now this person is Green Lantern. There is Kyle Rayner, who, full disclosure, my favorite Green Lantern, but all of the Lanterns die, and he's the only one who is left, and one of the Guardians, who's these little blue dudes, is like, please, you have to carry on the Green Lantern Corps.
So that one's got a ponytail, which is interesting. The Guardian who passed it on was the only young one.
Kyle Rayner has a crab mask, which is very weird. Anyway, there was an effort to make them one at a time, but now in the current continuity, they kind of don't care, and they're all just sort of there at the same time.
Yeah, there's even more than the ones that we know now. All right, so Guy Gardner later in the comics becomes just a great character because he's such a D-bag, right? He's so much fun to read, especially in contrast to other heroes like Superman, like Batman. My favorite anecdote is how he goaded Batman into a fight. He drops his shield and Batman knocks him out with one punch, and he was unconscious for two issues. Then we saw him portrayed by Nathan Fillion in Superman, and he's just this jerk. Here he's in jail, and this really surprised me. Do you guys have any theories about, well, one, is he an actual Green Lantern? Two, why is he in jail?
I think he's outside of the bars talking to someone in jail, but I will say that the showrunner did confirm that there are two timelines within this show. Things that are happening in 2016 and stuff that's happening now in 2026. So that could put the who is holding the ring problem to sleep. But that confirmation from them did sort of quash any issues I had with like who is the current Lantern. But it also does bring up other questions of like if Superman was 2025, how long has Guy been active? How long has Hal been active? Because also this is Hal, I believe, 2 months into knowing John was what
going to replace him.
Yeah.
Then we have this shot too. The double timeline thing is interesting because we do see young in the poorly de-aged version of Hal Jordan here in a second. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No, I was just going to bring up sort of like an ancillary question is if John doesn't have the ring yet, why is he there? You know, why is he with Hal Jordan? What is Hal Jordan doing in terms of training him or brushing up against him or whatever's going on? Like, does a Guardian come down and say, hey, you're going to be the next Green Lantern, kill Hal Jordan? Or again, these are all questions that'll be answered in the show, but it's a curious thing to happen.
So I was thinking with, oh, sorry, Ryan.
No.
I was going to say with the John Stewart being shown younger, I think they're going with the rebirth continuity with him being chosen by the Guardians, and whoever, I forget the actress's name at the end, whoever that was, I wonder if she's playing a Guardian in disguise or something, and that's the Manhunter that was sent down to tell John that he's been picked by the Guardians. But
Who is this again? Who do you think it might be?
The actress at the end, maybe she's Laura playing Linney, a Guardian. Laura Linney, yeah, I forgot her name. Maybe she's playing a Guardian and that's what they're going with, especially since they're going with the Marine, the former Marine, John Stewart.
You brought up the Manhunter thing, which is interesting because the Manhunters were basically the first draft of the Green Lanterns that the Guardians created. But because they were machines, their rule was basically too brutal. And then the Guardians of the Universe had to create the Green Lantern Corps with people who had an actual conscience. Is that correct? Basically. And part of what we've read about this is that there's a conspiracy that they're investigating, and it's not just going to be like, it's funny because to look at this, you see things like them rolling up to like the Dutton Ranch here with M engraved. Do you have any idea who that would be, by the way?
I have no idea.
That's Garrett Hedlund, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he's playing an original character. Maybe he's secretly somebody else. But I believe he's Mr. Yellowstone.
It's interesting because if you just watch this, you would think, oh, yeah, this looks like Roadhouse. Like they're going up against the local, like it's a Western. So they're going up against the local landed interests who don't want these cowboys rolling into town. That's like the trope they're drawing from. But we know from the synopsis that it's an alien conspiracy involving the small town. And the two timeline things is interesting because it makes me think this conspiracy started in 2016. And then this guy is part of it. And then now we're seeing 10 years later. And maybe little John Stewart was watching, I don't know how old he is in the show. He could be in his mid-20s, early 20s. And he was watching Hal Jordan on TV talking about this before. And so that's how these two storylines can interweave. But I wonder if this alien conspiracy storyline involves the Manhunters. And that way it would really help teach us about Green Lantern lore.
Well, I'm trying to think about things that happened in 2016. Do you think it might have to do with Pokemon Go, possibly?
Mm-hmm. Or Prince passing away, or David Bowie.
Hamilton being very popular. These are
the Cubs winning the World Series.
That's true, too. Yeah. I can't think of anything else significant that happened that year. Oh, there was one day in November, it was like really humid and it's really hard to get your hair right when it's that humid. So there's that.
I remember that day.
Right.
Yeah. Terrible, especially in New York. Now, I love this trailer though. I'm really into the concept of the show. I meant to show you guys this scene. I think that's Oa.
It could be.
Because Oa is usually portrayed as like this like patchwork of planets. It's usually not like cloudy. But I don't think this is Earth. I mean, that's a big gash.
I think it is because I think the next scene is an Oa prison.
Okay. Oh,
what are the science cells?
Oh, yeah. And there's Hal in costume. I was trying to find that before. Yeah. And what do you think about this costume? It's still got no green in it.
But it's very Earth One in its design, which I like.
Yeah.
I do wish it was greener, but I'm not going to say anything.
comic accurate lantern symbol, which is cool.
I think that's on purpose. Like, Hal is clearly conflicted throughout this trailer and this show. Yeah. Maybe there's something even worse going on with him, like Parallax possessing him or otherwise. And I don't think they would make... I don't think the costume is just a reaction to like, hey, Ryan Reynolds' costume looked bad. Let's do the opposite.
Right.
Yeah. It's a character choice is what they're doing.
We should also note that it's twice Parallax has been mentioned here. I know that like a lot of like Green Lantern comics aren't the most popular. I haven't read that many of them, to be honest. So that's why I love conversations like this. I have read the Parallax story, and that's basically where an evil entity possessed Hal Jordan and he wiped out the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, originally it's just Hal Jordan, essentially, and then they retcon it later to be this big, yellow, evil dude who actually was the villain in the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie, leading to, I would argue, the best scene in the movie where he punches him into the sun with a big boxing glove, and I laughed and cackled in the movie theater when that happened.
That movie did feature a giant cloud as the enemy, right? That was the age of giant clouds in superhero movies to save money. The mist. At least... Look how far we've come, though. At least in Loki, the giant cloud was shaped like a dog.
True.
So we've come that far. All right. Any other thoughts on this before we move on to the Batman?
I mean, the only other thing that I just sort of doubled down on, the two timelines are really intriguing because I wonder, I know I just said this before, but I wonder if, like, in 2016, something happened to Hal. And the central mystery we're dealing with and the villain we're dealing with, ultimately leading potentially, like Tommy was saying, to his death, is Hal. And we don't really know that until the timelines start to sync up, probably just to throw a TV structure out there, episode 7 or something like that.
I love that I'm in the dark about this show. My favorite thing about it is it's a mystery. And I can watch the trailers and I don't know what it's about. And I think that's amazing. Sorry, Lee, I stepped all over you there.
No, I was just going to say I'm excited. I think also... the tone of the show is so different. I'll go back and forth complaining on whether I like the tone or not, but I do enjoy how different it is from the rest of the DCU, especially just going off of what we've seen from Clayface as well so far. Everything is so tonally different that it makes me excited for each of these properties because I want to see how Guy is going to be able to fit in this very down-to-earth, toned-down, true crime-esque, sorry, true detective-esque story, and he's this abrasive asshole.
And if Green Lantern's been on Earth for 10 years, it kind of makes me think, I mean, the opening crawl of Superman established there have been heroes around for a while. I wonder if there ever has been a superhero group before the Justice Gang. I don't know. A couple super chats here. Armand gave us £5 and said, notice how Hal had a green suit in that TV interview, and how today he has a brown leather suit, more hints that maybe Hal is slipping a little. Goes right along with what you're saying. Bucky Barnes NC gave us $2, said Ryan and Tommy, missed you both. Love you guys. Apparently, screw Lee and Alex. That's great. No, just kidding, Bucky. You don't have to let us. I'm just joking. Ariel Frost said, gave us $2, said for Doug and Max. How is Maxie doing, Tommy?
Oh, he's so good. He got a bath yesterday, and he celebrated by sleeping directly in the center of my bed last night. So I slept like a toddler on the
tick season.
Of the like this. Yes. Tick season. Important to bathe your animals.
Time to Obligation gave us $2 and said, is Carrie Carter, Star Sapphire, the blonde girl? What do you think?
I mean, maybe there. I also was reading some rumors of like maybe Red Lanterns, which are Rage Lanterns in there. And that started to feel a little complicated to me. Like, I think when you've already got two lanterns who are vying for the same ring, some sort of conspiracy in a Western town, and they're trying to, I mean, we didn't really talk about this, and I don't know if they're sticking with this, but originally they were like, this kicks off the story of the DCU, like the bigger story that they're telling, they've said. Mm-hmm. So with all of those elements going on, then being like, there's star sapphires, which are basically like love lanterns. There's rage lanterns. There's fear lanterns. Like, that's a lot of stuff to throw in there. And I think they're going to keep it focused on Green Lantern's will and potentially Yellow Lantern's fear. And that's it.
Yeah. Let me throw this out there. Yeah, you brought up, I'd forgotten that they said, that James Gunn had said, yeah, this is kicking off the larger story, which also kicked off with the introduction of Salvation, the prison planet that they've been building up to. James Gunn came into this video store and he told us that he's not building up toward Darkseid because Zack Snyder already did that so well. That's what he said. I still maintain he's lying in some way. I kind of think if they're looking for something, there's an alien conspiracy, there's a mother box buried somewhere. But that's just me. I'm not going to let it go. Peacemaker clearly had boom tubes. I'm just saying.
And I mean, Salvation is tied to Darkseid in the comics anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Self-Presence gave us $2 and said, Guy is also an alien, but an earthling. So that's, I love that kind of nitpicking. And now we're going to talk about the Batman 2 and Man of Tomorrow news. But first, I want to remind you guys that this month we're having two sales. We're having a sale on all of our Star Wars parody merchandise. That's 15% off. Great shirts. Like, I love this one so much. The Boba Fett. That's a great one. The little Easter eggs in here. He's got a Hutt symbol on his ball cap. He's got the rifle from the Star Wars Holiday Special. Slave One pickup truck in the background, the Tosche Station power converter sale. Of course, one of my old favorites, the Master Vulcan. This Darth Maul shirt continues to amaze me every time I look at it. This Japanese-inspired warrior shirt, the Hello There t-shirt, and welcome mat. And there's one of them here. Docking Bay 94, Scum and Villainy Welcome. That's another one of my new favorites that we have. Of course, the I Have Friends Everywhere, and The Apprentice Lives, and Nobody's Ever Really Gone. This and other Star Wars parody merch are currently up on our site. We also are having a 15% off sale on Boys parody merch. Unfortunately, none of those stills are loaded up. I thought they were, but they're not. So that happens to us sometimes here on Screen Crush. And just a reminder, I mentioned this at the top of the episode, that if you become a store member at our tier, at our $2 tier, this is $5 a month, we give you exclusive videos, live show, monthly watch parties. This Wednesday night, I promise, we're watching the X-Men at 8 o'clock. You stream it from your own service or video file or whatever, DVD, and we're just going to watch and have a good time and comment and, you know, take your comments. It'll be a good time. And we're also going to do exclusive videos, monthly watch parties, and a 15% off sale merch discount with a code that you get when you sign up. And I want to remind our $100 tier members who are supposed to get a Q&A live stream. Last time I checked, we only have two of you guys. And I want to know, when do you want to do your Q&A live stream? There's a comment up on our community board right now. Answer that comment so we can schedule your live stream. And we're going to pop you guys at the end of our videos very soon. All right. Housekeeping done. Thanks for that. Let us finally talk about the Batman Part 2 new cast. Matt Reeves kind of went on a tear where he posted GIFs of different people and confirmed that they were going to be in it. We have Sebastian Stan as Harvey Dent. What are our thoughts, and are we surprised? He was announced a long time ago.
Generational casting. I will never shut up about this. I haven't been shutting up about this since before it was even confirmed. This will go down in history for me. I am of the belief that they're doing the Long Halloween as part two, or just the latter half of it.
Scarlett Johansson is Gilda Dent, right?
Mm-hmm. Harvey Dent's one of my all-time favorite characters when he's done properly, and Sebastian's performance in A Different Man was enough to sell me that he could do this tenfold. If you haven't seen that movie, I highly recommend it. It's like The Substance, but for men. It's fantastic.
Which I think is what we were all waiting for, really.
Of course, yeah.
When am I going to see myself represented in body horror?
Just once. Look, I want to see a bit of me in
my
movie.
Own everyday.
It's the best way I can describe it. Yeah. But it's a fantastic movie, and he's great in it. And I think that, I don't know, I'm just excited for I hate to be like gritty and true to life Harvey Dent, because I always fight against the gritty and true to life superhero stories. But Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see what Reeves does.
You know, well, and The Long Halloween, in case you guys haven't read it, is basically a Batman story. It's not quite Batman Year One, but it's very early days. Takes place.
I got it right here for you guys.
Oh, there you go. It takes place over the course of the year. And at the end of it, Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face, and his wife, Gilda, spoiler alert, she's a key part of the storyline. That's all I'll say. Sorry, Tommy, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I think my favorite Harvey Dent iteration is the Batman the Animated Series Harvey Dent, because they show the turmoil that he faces when he's Harvey Dent and not Two-Face. There's much more of the inner struggle. Like, the Tommy Lee Jones one was just a caricature that was, you know, a kind of, they cast this, like, serious, angry actor as Two-Face, and he got to be very silly and very big. And then the Aaron Eckhart one, I think, just leaned towards the rage part of it too much, and he didn't really have the conflict. I mean, he had a little bit of conflict, but it wasn't enough for me. It was kind of all, you know, in service of Heath Ledger's the Joker, I think. But I'm excited for if I think Sebastian Stan's a great actor. We've seen him play the conflicted two-sided character as the Winter Soldier already as well, where it's like there's something inside of him that knows what he's doing is wrong, but he's been brainwashed and all that. I just think if they can tell the story of a man who like is wronged, you know, he becomes Two-Face because of an unfortunate accident, and it's like, you know, but it makes him crazy and it makes him evil to a certain degree. And I think that being told by, you know, through Sebastian Stan's performance has potential to be, as Lee said, generational casting.
I totally agree that Stan is perfect for this role. I'm mostly curious what he's going to look like in this world of the Batman. Like, how much duct tape is he going to have on his face? Is it going to be on his face? Is it going to cover other parts of his body? Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
I really hope they go with the design close to Cape Crusader, that animated series from 2 years ago or so, where it's just like melting instead. It's so good.
I mean, you look at what they did with like the Joker's face and the scarring they gave on him in the post-credit scene, and I think you can expect something along those lines. I wonder, you know, Harvey Dent for me is a great character because he's somebody who was a crusader of justice in most iterations. And when, like Tommy said, the ultimate injustice is visited upon him, he still has to find justice in some way. And the best villains always reflect the heroes. We saw that with the Riddler in the first movie, where he was also an orphan, just like Bruce Wayne, but didn't have means. So he'd be also a really clever guy, but became a villain instead of a hero. And here we have Batman, who's seeking justice all the time. And then Two-Face is kind of like the opposite end of that, which is interesting. I kind of hope that we don't see Riddler and Joker in this movie. And if they do appear again, it's in part three for some sort of big thing, or maybe just with the Joker using them. I'm not sure. But this definitely works a lot better than the early rumor of Mr. Freeze. I was really curious how the hell they were going to do that. And at one point, Clayface was also the rumor, but I think that was probably Hollywood leakers getting mixed up with the Clayface movie, which hadn't been announced yet.
It's also interesting to me that if they are going in the Long Halloween direction, just because Long Halloween was used for Batman Begins, it was used in part for The Dark Knight, it was used for the Batman Part 1, I guess we're calling it now. So I agree with you. I think 100% they're going to go in that direction, but how are they going to make it feel distinct from these earlier movies? And I trust them. I love the Batman, but there's not a ton of meat left on that bone that hasn't been chewed in some fashion, to say in the most disgusting
way. Well, a big part of the Long Halloween, I mean, it's the reason it works so well as an animated series, is every month is a different villain. Mm-hmm. And I guess they could do that in this, but it's like, some of them just fit so naturally. The Scarecrow is Halloween, you know, like that they would pop up every month like that. I'm not sure. Lee, what do you think?
I think it just works in the way that what are they calling it now? The Batman crime saga has been set up thus far, especially with the Penguin, because that series did a lot of dark victory with the Falcones, and that's in the same trilogy as Year One, The Long Halloween, and Dark Victory. And I think that with the Long Halloween, taking out the Selina and Falcone connection storyline that we already saw in the Batman, and taking out Carmine Falcone in general, I mean, you could swap him in for the Penguin and still have that whole
thing. Who is in the movie? That's confirmed.
Exactly. And also it was confirmed that Bella Real is returning. I could totally see something with the Penguin being the new top dog instead of Falcone. and bringing in DA Harvey Dent to the new Renewal Foundation to help get the Penguin out. And then instead of the Maronis being the one that caused the accident, it could be one of the other gangs we saw in the Penguin. So I think that there is still enough storyline, especially with the Dents, I'll just say, that there's enough for a movie, I think. And also if they're doing Christopher Dent, because I feel like
that's Charles Dance. I was going to ask, so explain Christopher Dent to us.
So that's Harvey's dad. And depending on the continuity, I think it's only been in two, in the Arkham, one of the Arkham games, and in All-Star Batman, and also in the like established continuity, that his dad was just an abusive jerk. And in Harvey's childhood, he would flip a coin and choose whether or not to beat him. And so it I think establishes a more developed Harvey Dent as a character with that background, that it's not just guy who got splashed with acid and his whole thing is two. It's something that is internal and has now been made external. And so I think with adding Dent in, it's also establishing the early Bruce and Harvey friendship that is established in some comics, which I think is personally fun. I really like when they know each other, and also like they did in the animated series, knowing each other before it's Batman and Two-Face, I think adds more stakes to the story. Totally. I also, with Reeves saying that this is a villain that is familiar to both Bruce and Batman, I think that kind of establishes all of it. Just because I know a lot of people were saying it was Hush way early back on when you said that comment.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, we've also got other cast members on here. So, and a couple that aren't returning, which are kind of disappointments, but it seems like a pretty full movie. Sebastian Coke, but we don't know who he's playing yet. And Brian Tyree Henry, also we don't know, but there's some speculation that he is going to play Bullock, who is sometimes portrayed as a crooked cop and sometimes just portrayed as a cop who don't like bats that much. So that's a pretty good casting there, especially if Commissioner Gordon, well, he's not a commissioner yet, but if Gordon has continued to elevate up the ladder, and we can see some of those holdovers who don't like Batman, you know, from the first movie, as Gordon like kind of changes the bat-titude throughout the
I think we'll probably see a Captain Gordon in this film.
Makes sense.
Because the current captain, I believe, is rumored not to be returning. And just where Batman is in his career, I think we'll probably get a Captain Gordon, which, I mean, I'm all for more Jeffrey Wright as Jim Gordon. That's half the reason why I rewatched that movie. He's, I think, my favorite adaptation of Gordon ever. But I also hope that they kind of add in more of the GCPD show that they were going to do that just fell through. I think that and the Arkham show that they had planned, I wouldn't mind if they kind of incorporated some of those plot lines into this film.
Well, speaking of spinoffs, go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I was just going to comment that if Brian Tyree Henry is Bullock and if Gordon is Captain, I think that makes a lot of sense, like giving him a foil to play off of there, somebody who's going to push against him, potentially be in some corrupt dealings with the Penguin that they could follow, they could trace, and it gives us as the audience sort of a flashpoint there. So if that does happen, that all makes a lot of sense to me, just backing up what you said.
And I like that they're pulling two misused or two victims of Marvel's like misused releases during COVID in Scarlett Johansson and Brian Tyree Henry and giving them prominence in the DC.
Exactly. There you go.
Patton Oswalt in there.
Yes. Let Harry Styles. Let Harry Styles play Condiment Man, for crying out loud.
The Clock King. Patton Oswalt would make a great Clock King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take some watermelon sugar was the joke that I was making. Right. We're past that.
I like it.
Also, just want to touch on this. Zoe Kravitz and Christina Milioti are not returning. And I mean, I don't know if you guys, everybody who's watching, saw the Penguin series. Christina Milioti's portrayal as Sofia Falcone was like incredible. It's one of the best things in this universe. I hope she does eventually come back. Did she win an Emmy for that? I don't remember. Is she nominated?
She was nominated.
She's nominated.
Oh, man, she was so good in it. But we've also got some other casting news for Man of Tomorrow. So, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Cinqua Walls, Let's see. We got a picture here. Yeah, there we go. Making a lot of people think that he's playing Steel and Matthew Lillard. And there is speculation that he's Plastic Man. But do you guys have any thoughts on who these characters could be playing? Steel is somebody who basically kind of became Superman after Superman died. He's a normal guy who invented an armor. Shaquille O'Neal played him in a movie. I think he was also a character on, he was on Lois and Clark. And, or sorry, the new adventure. What was it? Superman and Lois. Superman and then Matthew Lillard, of course, is having a moment. Once Quentin Tarantino went on the internet and criticized him, suddenly everybody wants him to be in everything. Do you guys have any thoughts on who they're playing?
The absolute funniest thing for Matthew Lillard to be playing would be a government man who everybody thinks is somebody important, but he's just a regular guy named Greg. And that's it. Mr. Greg, maybe.
Mr. Greg. I think he's playing Norman Osborn.
Yeah, he's definitely playing Norman Osborn. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Taskmaster. Taskmaster.
Well, okay, so we know
I agree. I agree, Plastic Man, just because I know way back when Lillard and Gunn pitched a Plastic Man movie with Lillard wanting to play Plastic Man. So I do think that it might just be like a nod. And we also did have that mural of the... In the Hall of Justice, it was the mirror of all the superheroes of the past. I don't know. They could do like a little interview scene. Maybe they're in the archives or whatever, just looking at Brainiac observing the earth. Like, I don't think it's going to
You think they're
to
not going to make Plastic Man the an actual hero played by Matthew Lillard? Do you think it's just going to be
I don't. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't see
that. It was in development forever with Ben Schwartz, right? Wasn't that like his big thing was he wanted to play Plastic Man?
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Am I conflating Ben Schwartz projects? But I thought he advocated to play Plastic Man for a long time, and to the point where it reached some sort of developmental stage.
I don't know.
This is like 10-year-old movie gossip. So I
could definitely see Matthew.
I can see that.
Like
yeah,
Ralph Dibny or something like that. Yeah. Whether he's actually Plastic Man in the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if how much. It's an interesting movie to me. I kind of feel like we're going to space in some way because Brainiac is the villain for Man of Tomorrow. For sure. But if I mean, obviously, like the Man of Tomorrow comic is very different. It's about Superman's first year. There's a lot of different Man of Tomorrow storylines they can adapt. I like him as Plastic Man. Plastic Man's whole thing is like he CGI's rubbery, he's goofy, and I think Matthew Lillard in a lot of roles, not just in Scream 1, can bring that kind of manic energy. In fact, the foil for the Kingpin in Daredevil Born Again, that's basically what he was. He was like a human, constantly snacking version of Plastic Man. Hmm. Lars Eldinger, who's playing Brainiac, gave an interview with The Hollywood Reporter recently. And let's see here. He said, he talked about his theater background, how it's helping him with Man of Tomorrow, how he likened the overtop performances of Guardians of the Galaxy and other superhero films as theater-like. He said, Brainiac is described as the incarnation of Satan. I find that almost Shakespearean. The king, the fool, there are many parallels for me. And then when asked about playing an evil role, Edlinger talked about how everything is divided into good versus evil. He talked about contradictions and gray zones that might lend themselves to the Brainiac character. What do you guys think about that? Is Brainiac the embodiment of evil like Satan, the incarnation?
I have never thought that the entire time I've been reading comics.
Me neither.
Ever.
It's fine if that's how he's viewing it as a way to, to get into character.
I mean, Brainiac is very purposefully, like, all focused on intelligence and collection and knowledge. And the thing that makes him evil is he doesn't see the emotion in others, which is why he's a really good foil for Superman, who is all emotion, who leads with his heart. So to be like, Satan implies such different things. Like, I could see the king part of the quote, certainly, but I don't know. That's surprising.
You know, it reminds me of something that Terry Gilliam said. He said he was talking, Terry Gilliam, great director, former Monty Python member, directed this great dystopia film called Brazil back in the 1980s. And Michael Palin plays this doctor in it who just works for the state. And at the end of it, has to basically lobotomize his best friend because those are his orders. And in this conversation Gilliam had with George Lucas was like, yeah, Darth Vader is a bad guy. He's big, scary mask and stuff. And he said, no, no, no. You can see Darth Vader coming a mile away, said Terry Gilliam. It's like Michael Palin in Brazil. That's a villain because he's just a guy who does his job. And in some ways, I wonder if that dispassion of Brainiac that you're talking about does him make like does make him more of an evil character because it is so antithetical to Superman.
I do think that it's not a crazy take. I think also a Brainiac in this age, in the age of AI, it's very easy to see those two comparisons of no matter what type of Brainiac they're going with, either the AI or the alien, it is just about collection of information no matter the cost. And so I do think that, I mean, James Gunn's films are always like slightly political, I would say, in intent. And I think that in this age of AI, doing a villain like Brainiac and also having Superman and then Lex Luthor needing to team up together, I don't disagree that the villain would be someone that's more evil than Lex. That is the incarnation of evil itself.
Well, let me take it
a step
further.
I think an alien AI makes sense because AI are an alien life form that we've created or are creating. Yeah. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No. I was just going to sort of like follow that train of thought. And if, to follow like the Satan metaphor, if it is a sort of thing where he is gifting the future to Earth, like maybe it's not cosmic, but it's Brainiac coming and being like, I will give you this AI, I will improve everything, which is something that they kind of did in some fashion in the last season of the Harley Quinn animated series a little bit. But if the whole idea of Man of Tomorrow is Lex Luthor thinks he's the Man of Tomorrow, he's been presented with Superman, who himself is the Man of Tomorrow, but then Brainiac comes as like, I offer another solution to actually take you into the future, Metropolis and the rest of the Earth, and gives them this thing. But of course, there's the Faustian catch to it. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think too, like the idea that scares me the most about AI and technological advancement is that it creates purposelessness in people. Like, it's like, all right, so like the idea of it being like a Trojan horse gift of like, I'm going to give you this incredible technology that will make all of your lives easier, which is how tech is always pitched to us, right? Like, it's going to make your life easier and you can do the things you enjoy more. And then slowly it takes away, you know, the desire to create or whatever. That's always my great fear. And then it makes us easier to control, right? That's the other fear. So like, maybe, yeah, it's the introduction of this thing to take away people's purpose so that he can use them for his purpose, which, you know, I think with Lex Luthor, his brand is like, he wants to create a better world with his selfish interests, right? He wants to create a better world for himself mainly, but he justifies it to himself because he's like, it'll make the world better for other people too. It's like, if you just have a singular being that's coming in and being like, I'm going to, you know, have total control by giving people the illusion that their lives are somehow improving through this, that is true evil to me. That is satanic. Like, that is like, in my opinion, the ultimate evil.
Let me throw this out there. Go ahead, Lee.
I was going to say, and I know we've disagreed about this before, Ryan, but if it is the case that Brainiac was the one that sent the message from Jor-El and Lara that was, you know, conquer Earth, if it let's say it is a Kryptonian AI like it was in the animated series, if it's a rogue Kryptonian AI and its whole purpose is collecting information, that would be part of the message that is sent out, you know, like to produce and keep producing and making this
so
biome that he wants to have in his bottle ship.
Are you saying Jor-El is a deepfake? That it's an AI deepfake?
Yes, I am.
I don't think he's not going to go. I don't think Gunn's going to
go. Okay, no, I don't think he's going to go there, but there is at the end of Superman the tagline on one of the TVs that says that the message was faked. So whether it was by Lex or Brainiac,
I think that's a big ass reach. But Alex made me think about like if Brainiac pretends to be benevolent, shows up on Earth, that is the storyline in the first, like when they relaunched the JLA in the 90s, the comic book with Grant Morrison, and white Martians show up disguised as superheroes and solve all the world's problems when really they're just mind controlling people and taking over the planet, and the superheroes are late to realize this. That reminds me that Cinqua Jones and also Andre Royo from The Wire, who play Bubbles, it's rumored he might be in the movie, and there's some speculation they could be playing the Martian Manhunter, who could also show up in this film. And if we're going to space, and if that's all a part of it, maybe they're also introducing him. Although I kind of was hoping they would do the absolute version of Martian Manhunter, but that's way off topic. Yeah. What do you guys think about that speculation? Could we be setting up like an Earth-Mars war?
Ooh. Yes.
Great. That's fantastic. I love that.
I mean, we definitely could. It's interesting to me that everybody, and this is nothing against what you just said, Brian, but everybody immediately jumps to Martian Manhunter all the time with absolutely everything, which mm-hmm. I think shows a certain hunger for seeing the character done right on screen. And there was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think like James Gunn posted a photo of Chacos, which is the cookie that Martian Manhunter likes, which is either like a very mean tease.
Because they were in...
Yeah, they had an ad for it in Superman.
I don't know. If they find a good actor they can throw in there as like, hello, I'm Detective John Jones, who everybody knows from reading the comics and watching animated series is the human guise of Martian Manhunter, why not? Like, why not put it in there? It certainly could be. Whether they go for a full Martian plot on top of Brainiac and everything else, maybe. I mean, the first movie was pretty busy, too, and they seemed to balance everything, so perhaps.
I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of the Snyder Cut. When Martian Manhunter shows up at the end, and it turns out that he was the military officer for Man of Steel, and you could tell they were thinking ahead. I think if you're going to have the Martian Manhunter in it, he should have been in part one, just disguised as somebody, or in Peacemaker. Like, there could be somebody, it wouldn't be Rick Flagg, but there could be a through character who's been Martian Manhunter the whole time. We'd have to comb
through. Wasn't that an outrageous tether to Tim Meadows' character for Peacemaker season two?
Hey, that's not too bad. That would explain at least why we've never seen Tim Meadows' character walk through fire and why he can't recognize what
that was the big one. It's like he just doesn't know the species of birds.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. We got a super chat here from Clark's. Gave us $10 and said, just want to drop in and say, hey guys, y'all rock, and drop some scratch for Doug treats. Absolutely. I think the Calendar Man and... Lee, I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name. Zaz's. I never really knew how to read it in the comic.
Zaz
would be amazing if done right.
Zaz.
Zaz would be amazing if done right. Yeah. Because he always reminds me of the Marvel villain Zax, who's like a living electric thing. Mm. Comics are weird.
So funny.
Overcrowd the Batman, though. But yeah.
Both Freeze and Zaz were speculation on what that kid would turn out to in the Penguin. During they're like, oh, his name is Victor, he must be turning into either of those. Like, yeah, because that's how that works. Totally.
Yeah, there was a really good
God, the Penguin was so good. It had no business so being good. That good. It was so good.
There was a really good Zaz on Gotham, played by Anthony Carrigan.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Yeah. So if you want a good Zaz, go watch Gotham, I guess.
I will say, for all the shit I give Gotham, some of their character designs and just the way they portrayed some characters was really good.
Was great.
Yeah.
I still maintain that show should have taken place parallel to Batman being in Gotham City, and it's just the everyday life, like The Wire, but in Gotham, of trying to deal with this superhero shit happening over there. But that's... look, I'm willing to cede that hill because it's too late to die.
Well, they struggled with that. Like, obviously, like they were more willing to age villains in that show because they introduced all the villains as kids in the first season. They were like, oh,
right.
Poison Ivy doesn't really work as a 12-year-old, so we're going to have her step into a plant and magically become an adult, which is like Tom Hanks from Big, where you're like, well, anything she does as an adult is still weird because she's technically still a 12-year-old. So very bizarre.
Great show. We used to have real TV.
Yeah.
If we got final results of our poll, the Batman 2 wins at 38% for what people are most excited for. This surprises me. Lanterns is second for 26%, but maybe the people who clicked on this video clicked on it for Lanterns. And then Man of Tomorrow at 23% and Supergirl, I think it's going to surprise a lot of you guys at 14%. We got to wrap it up there. Thanks everybody for watching. Thank you guys for coming on. I'm pumped about Lanterns coming out this August. Lee, you can find his stuff here at the Screen Crush channel. He writes or co-writes basically every DC video we do. And I should have put Clayface on here as well. Man, I'm pumped for Clayface. All right. See you later, Lee. Thanks a lot. And Alex, you can find him on the Comic Book Club podcast or here on Screen Crush all the time. You got anything coming up you need to plug, Alex?
Sure. If it's okay to cross the streams tomorrow, Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we're going live with Comic Book Club with writer Benjamin Percy. He's going to be talking about his new End Times book that he co-wrote with Stephen King. So that should be a lot of fun. That's 7 o'clock on the Comic Book Club channel.
All right. Links for that are below. Thanks so much. And Tommy. Oh, shit. Tommy, you got to go, buddy.
Janet, the slip and slide is optional. No one has to use it, but it stays in the shop or I walk. Ryan, I got to go. I'm so sorry.
Thanks, Tommy. All right. Thanks for spending your break with us. And we want to hear from all you guys down in the comments below. You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, or on our free-to-join Discord server, or subscribe to me on Substack. That's always a huge help. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe. Smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan.